well now too, and is Merc's, the human element. As a fellow human, if I wanted to storm the castle, I wouldn't come at it from below. Can I?
When he reached for the sketch pad, Sasha nudged it toward him.
So we're here. Grove here, road there, he said as he drew a rough map. Closest neighbors here, here. Bad strategy to send troops up from the road. Maybe a few as a distraction, but it's wasting men and effort. You come from the flanks, but the real vulnerability is west and above. The ground keeps rising. Rough terrain, mountainous. They couldn't come fast, but...
Long-range weaponry, Riley put in, got a nod. She rose, walked back from the pergola, looked up. Some pretty decent cover. We'd have our own cover in the grove, and with the house itself to some extent. But a good sniper, and he only uses good, could pick us off. He doesn't want us dead, Sasha began. Or not all of us. Tranquilizers. With her hands in her pockets, Riley continued to scan. He knows what we are, knows he can't kill Doyle anyway. And he'd want me and Annika alive. We're worth a lot more to him alive and captured. Bran, Sasha, maybe he'd be curious enough to want them alive and incapacitated. But Sawyer, all he wants is the compass. Shooting you in the head's the easy path there.
Don't say it, Annika murmured.
Sorry, but he's already tried to kill Sawyer once. He'll try again. For all the good it'd do him. He kills me, he still won't have the compass. You can't just take it, Sawyer explained. It has to be given. You know, presented. Otherwise, it'll just go back to my grandfather.
Riley walked back to the table. Does he know that?
He should, but he was pissed off enough in Morocco to send an assassin. Could be he hasn't dug deep enough to know how it all works.
Yeah, Malmont and his anger issues. What's the plan?
We'll need to scout out the area before Malmont gets here. I don't guess your contact's gotten back to you on that.
Not yet, but she will, Riley assured Sawyer.
Doyle knows the terrain.
Riley raised her brows at Doyle. It's been a couple hundred years. Is your memory that good?
It's good enough. Since it is, we'll be heading up tomorrow instead of out to sea. We can't find the star if we're dead or in a cage.
Can't argue. And once we're up there, more climbing than hiking, and figure out what would be their best vantage points?
We set traps.
Riley shot a finger at Sawyer.
Now you're talking. We can't use the light bombs, Bran pointed out. We can't risk an adventurous tourist or a local setting one off, being burned.
My bracelets wouldn't hurt them.
Bran nodded at Annika.
Exactly so. So I have to conjure something similar, something that will harm only evil, or one with evil intent. I've some ideas on it.
Then you should be relieved of household chores this evening.
I'll do Bran's tasks, Annika said.
Thanks for that. I'll need Sasha's help, and I believe she's down for head chef tonight. I'll cover it, Sawyer shrugged. No big. Then we'll get started. The rest of us will get in some training in the grove, Doyle said as Bran and Sasha rose. I was afraid you'd say that.
Doyle glanced at Sawyer.
An hour. Then there'll be beer.
Though Annika didn't like beer, she trained for the hour. She didn't like the bruises Doyle gave her when he showed her how to defend against what he called holds and grips. But he reminded her she'd like a cage much less. She liked wine and helping Sawyer make dinner, so enjoyed both. She got to make something he called bruschetta, cutting the long bread in half, toasting it, while he cooked chicken for the dish he called Alfredo.
Remember how to mince?
Cut up, very, very small.
Very small. Those Roma tomatoes and that garlic.
She applied herself to it, imagining how nice it would be to cook with him like this, without the bruises from training or the thoughts of fighting ahead.
The chicken smells so good.
It'll taste even better with the fettuccine Alfredo. Good job. Now the basil I cut from the herb garden? You need to slice that, really thin. But slice, not chop. Right?
I know what's slice, what's chop. If I lived on the land, I'd have a garden of flowers and herbs, and the vegetables too. I'd sit in it every day and drink wine.
Sweet deal.
He showed her what else to do, with a little wine, the oil, the vinegar, with cheese and with pepper and salt.
That's just going to sit a while, he told her while he made a sauce in a pan, so the flavors mix together.
She liked the way he looked as he stirred things, his body relaxed, his hair catching light from the sun as it came through the windows. In the house on land, I'd have a big kitchen like this, with the windows for sun, the big shiny box for cold things, and all the pretty dishes.
A big-ass pantry.
Big-ass pantry, she repeated.
A long, wide peninsula, doubles as a breakfast counter.
A peninsula is a landmass with three sides in the water.
Points for you.
Playfully, he shot a finger at her.
In the kitchen, it's a kind of counter, for food prep and for people to sit, eat casual, or keep you company while you cook.
So you're not lonely. Do you have this kitchen?
Me? No. My folks have a nice kitchen, and my grandparents? It's a mix of old-fashioned and practical updates. But we're building a dream kitchen here, from scratch.
The idea of dreaming with him sang in her heart. What color is it?
What's your favorite?
Oh, there are too many for one to be the best.
Then we'll go with green, like your eyes. Stainless steel appliances, commercial grade 6-burner gas range. Maybe dark gray for the cabinets.
Your eyes are gray. I like gray.
A lot of open or glass fronts on them, for those pretty dishes of yours. Walk-in pantry, farm sink, big windows. South-facing so you can have your herbs and pots through the winter. Good start, he said as he filled a pot with water.
Can it be near the sea?
Hey, dream kitchen, remember? The world's your oyster.
Oysters are very small, she began, then understood. An expression.
You got it. It means you can have anything you want.
I'd want the dream kitchen in a house near the sea, and we would cook in it together every night. He looked over then, and she felt him start to speak. But Riley came rushing in. Malmont's in London. She grabbed a glass, poured wine. My contact says he's been seen going and coming from this house in Hyde Park, one that belongs to this rich dude and his third wife. And they haven't been seen for a couple days. More? Malmont's butler hanged himself. Police investigated. No foul play. Straight suicide.
Why the butler? Sawyer wondered.
Can't say. But no signs of drugs, struggle, force. Word is, Malmo's making arrangements to rent a villa in Capri, and tapping some of his mercs for the trip.
They know where we are, but with him still in London putting it together, we've got some time yet.
Nereza knows, Annika pointed out. She must know if this Malmont does. She could come sooner.
We'll be ready, Sawyer assured her. And as far as ready, dinner nearly is.
Riley is to set the table. What?
Oh, right.
I'm making bruschetta.
Bruschetta, Sawyer corrected.
Annika mouthed the correct pronunciation as Riley grabbed dishes. As they ate together, all six, and planned, Annika kept an eye on the sky. Nereza would send her creatures through the sky. Later, she stepped out front and watched the sea. When Sawyer came out, she let herself lean against him.
You should try to get some sleep. I really think we've got a couple days yet.
Why do you think that?
I think she'll use Malmont first, see what he can do, if he can cause some damage. We hurt her last time, and she won't forget that. And she failed, so it figures she'll try something else. Malmont's the something else.
You can't let him hurt you.
Don't intend to. What else?
I like to hike,
Tomorrow we'll walk in the hills, but we won't go into the sea. In Corfu, I could go down to it late at night or very early in the day. Now it's too far.
I can take you down.
He drew out his compass.
You would?
Sure. You can get in a quick swim. Then you need to sleep. Tomorrow's going to be a hot, hard climb. The pool's going to have to do after that. Go ahead. Get your suit.
When she smiled, sliding her gaze up to him under her lashes, he nodded.
Okay, I get it. That kind of swim. Well, it should be late enough for it.
I don't change the legs until I'm in the water and away from the shore.
All right. Ready?
He asked and took her hand. Oh, yes. She held tight as they flew. Chapter 6. With her hand still in Sawyer's, Annika found herself on that little pebbled beach, sheltered by rocks and cliff walls, and lit by only the light of the waning moon. It struck her as both romantic and beautiful.
Oh, this is so nice. It's like closing the door to the room. Private.
I scouted around a little, in case you needed a spot.
How could she not love him? How could she not give her heart to such a heart?
You're kind. Kindness is a strength, so you're very strong. You'll swim with me.
I'll keep watch.
You said we had time before they come.
Yeah.
So you can swim.
She took his hands, drawing him closer to the water. She would never use the siren song to lure him, but her eyes seduced.
It will help you sleep, too.
I don't have any trunks.
You have something else? Under your pants? If you're shy.
If that didn't make him feel like an idiot, nothing would.
Yeah, I've got them.
He pulled a chain out of the compass, locked it around his neck before he pulled off his t-shirt. Annika simply slithered out of the dress, stood naked in the silvered light.
Blin, you could warn a guy.
What is that word? Blin,
she asked and picked up the dress, tossed it over a rock.
It's...
Where did he look? Where did he look? Well, Jesus, he was a man. He looked at her.
Russian. Something you say when you're surprised.
I like being Blin.
She ran into the sea, vanished under the dark, frothing waves. He'd just stay on shore. That was smarter, safer. But her head rose up above the waves.
Come swim with me. It's wonderful.
He hoped it was cool, he decided as he pulled off his jeans, towed off his sneakers. He could use cool after that long, hot look at her, pale and perfect gold in the moonlight. He waded in, nearly to his waist, got a jolt when he felt something wrap around his legs. When she tugged, he realized quickly she'd coiled her tail around him. He went under. He couldn't resist stroking a hand over the sleek curl of it. Then she used it to propel him to the surface, rose up beside him.
Now you're wet all over.
You too.
She did a slow roll so that gorgeous, glimmering tail shimmered up into the light, slid under the surface again.
We can swim as far as you like, she told him. I can bring you back to the land.
When he tapped the compass, she nodded.
Yes, you can bring us back too.
Facing him still, she glided away.
Not for too long, he reminded her,
and kicked to keep pace. She went under, then speared up to do a playful dive over him. Maybe he let her lead him out farther than he'd intended, but he had to rank swimming with a beautiful mermaid in the moonlight of the island of Capri, top of his personal list.
Hold your breath,
she told him, and taking his hands, pulled him under, then took him speeding through the dark water. She pulled him up, into the night, into the air and moonlight, a foot away from the rock.
Seriously cool.
It was fun?
E-ticket. Yes, best fun ever.
You swim very well. You're strong in the water, but still tire. We can sit on the rocks until you're ready.
She laid her hands on the rock, boosted up as smoothly as a gymnast, and smiled down at him as she squeezed water from her hair. Maybe he was a little winded, he decided as he hoisted up beside her. Besides, if he sat beside her, he wouldn't face those bare and beautiful breasts.
So mermaids really do like sitting on rocks, watching the sea, the ships, the shore?
Yes. We're of the water and the air. We need time in both to be happy. Humans can have the land, the air, the water. Long ago, there were some jealous of this, who lured the men in ships to the rocks, or pulled them into the deep to drown. This is shameful. We take oaths never to harm our own, or people of the land.
Like Riley's pack takes an oath.
Yes. She lifted her face to moon and stars. I have a question.
Okay.
Why don't you want to kiss me?
What?
Today, you kissed me here. She touched a finger to her forehead. But this doesn't count. I'm allowed to ask why you don't want to kiss me.
We're teammates.
Yes. Bran and Sasha are teammates. I don't think that's the why.
It's part of the why, he insisted. And look, you haven't been you haven't been in this world very long. You're still learning how things work.
Her chin jutted up, her shoulders shot straight. I know how kissing works. Have you stopped learning how things work? I think it's never okay to stop learning.
Okay, that's true. Even profound. But we've got a lot going on, and priorities. It's like Sasha said once, there's this purity to you, so I don't want to change. You know, the balance of things.
None of these are real answers, and I've made you awkward, she said, stiffly now. I'm apology. I'm sorry. You were kind to bring me to the sea. We should go back now.
Look, look, look. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Not giving true answers is hurtful. Frustrated, he shoved his fingers through his hair. What was he supposed to say to a hurt, pissed-off mermaid?
I'm trying to give you true answers, and I'm trying not to hurt your feelings, or anything else. I didn't expect the question.
So you couldn't think of better answers that aren't real?
And sometimes she got things entirely too well. Not exactly. It's not that I don't want to kiss you, it's...
How do I understand that? She demanded, and faced him with eyes of stormy green. Does not that I don't want mean I want?
No. Maybe. Yes, hell.
He grabbed her shoulders, managed to rein himself in enough to touch his lips very lightly to hers. The storm died out of her eyes as she nodded. You want to kiss me like the brother of my father? This is an answer. Thank you. We should go back now. Before she could slide off the rock, he tightened his grip on her shoulders.
It's an answer. It's not the truth.
You can't tell me the truth? Distress moved over her face as she touched a hand to his heart. It's an oath? I would never ask you to break an oath.
No. No, it's not an oath. It's a...
hang-up, a situation, a...
mistake. Maybe a mistake. Or maybe this is. I guess we both need to find out.
His hands glided up from her shoulders to cup her face. She drew in a breath, held it with her heart drumming as for a moment, forever. He just looked into her eyes. And he looked into her eyes still as his lips touched hers, lightly as before, but not as before. Soft, so soft, light as the butterfly on the flower. She wondered if the flower felt this stirring, this yearning. Then his lips rubbed hers, pressed. And worlds opened. Her breath released, her eyes closed as he took her so slowly, so gently into those worlds, worlds of sweet pleasure, of new tastes, of quiet wonders. Her lips parted, answered his, and it was like sliding deep and deeper into the warm and the lovely. He'd known, somehow known, he'd be lost if he ever took this step. No compass could ever guide him back to solid ground again. She gave, absolutely,
her hand pressed to his heart as if to hold it, her mouth, her tongue, gliding with his as if created for him. The scent of the sea, her scent, mixed together, enchanted him, and always would. The sound of water against rock, that constant mating, the sound of her sighs blended like one, bewitched him, and always would. Everything good and right and worth fighting for coalesced in that single kiss, and still he wanted more. But he remembered what he could never allow himself to forget, honor, and so he eased back.
Annika.
He kept his hands on her face because, oh boy, how they wanted to wander down. While he struggled for the right thing, the honorable thing to say, to do, she smiled, all but blinded him with the light of it.
Now I can kiss you.
You just did.
No, no, first. Before I couldn't, but now.
Her arms came hard around him. Her mouth took his in an explosion of passion that blew the sheer concept of honor all to hell. She burned against him, a torch on the water, impossibly hot and bright. He dived into the fire, letting himself take, be taken. Her skin, soft as velvet, her breasts firm and perfect and finally filling his hands. The miracle of her tail, sleek and wet and fascinating as the texture changed. He knew he should slow things down, knew he should stop, but she coiled and curled around him while her upper body arched to offer, until all he heard was the beat of his own blood. Desperate now, driven to taste those perfect breasts, he shifted to lie her back on the rock. She turned with him, just as eager, and they slid off the rock into the water. Dazed with lust, he went under, started to push to the surface. She pulled him straight up, laughing.
I got too happy.
Once more she curled around him, and with her arm circling his neck, kept him afloat without appearing to move at all. It struck him he was in over his head, in more ways than one. She laid her head on his shoulder, nuzzled there. Lust didn't cool so much as melded with affection, so he found some balance.
Can't be too happy, he said, stroking her hair.
I feel so full of it. I think I could stay like this and never run out.
But they couldn't stay, he reminded himself. They'd already been away from the house, from the others, longer than was wise.
I know we can't, she said before he could. But 1 minute more. Here, now. The darkness is precious and good. Soon it won't be.
1 minute more.
He let himself enjoy the minute, floating on a moonlit sea, buoyed by a mermaid. She didn't press for more. He felt the way her tail moved the water as she leaned back, drawing him along.
What did you mean? You couldn't kiss me before, but now you could.
We're not allowed.
To kiss?
No, that would be sad, wouldn't it?
Her hair flowed over the water, black silk against indigo.
We're not allowed to kiss a land person first. To ask for the kiss, to take it. It has to be given by choice. Then we can give back.
What, like an aerial thing?
Puzzled, she frowned.
Aerial is of the air?
Maybe. It's a character, a mermaid in a story.
Oh, I don't know the story of Ariel. Will you tell me?
I'll do better. I'll show you. We'll see if there's a way to get the DVD or stream it. It's a movie, a Disney movie. Anyway, she had to wait for the prince to kiss her in the story.
You're a king, Sawyer King.
Laughing, she lifted her head, kissed him again. Her tail swirled back and forth. Then her legs kicked before they both stood in thigh-high water.
Will you kiss me when I have legs? I can ask now.
Amused, allured, he cupped her face again, kissed her.
We've got to get back, and you need that dress. Small chance of the Polizia coming along, but we could get arrested.
For kissing?
For public nudity.
There are strange laws and rules here.
But she waded back to the rock, slipped the dress over her head. He grabbed his jeans, his shirt, tugged the jeans over the wet boxers. Instead of taking her hand, he wrapped his arms around her waist.
Ready?
She circled his waist with hers.
Yes.
When they stood in front of the villa again, still entwined, she hugged harder.
It's different to travel when you hold me. Everything is different when you hold me. If you came to my room, we could lie together, and you could hold me.
He asked any god listening for strength.
Long, hard day tomorrow. You need to go up, get some sleep.
It's hard to do what needs, but you need sleep too.
Yeah, you go on in. I'll be in a minute.
To please them both, he kissed her, then again, and once more until her eyes were dreamy when she turned to go.
Good night.
Night,
he said as the door closed behind her, then sat on the step until he could settle down. An instant later, he was on his feet, the knife out of the sheath on his belt and in his hand. Doyle stepped out of the shadows.
Stand down, soldier. Just taking a last pause before turning in.
As Sawyer slid the knife home again, Doyle sauntered forward.
Hell of an offer you just turned down. I don't know whether to admire or pity your willpower. Neither do I. I tell you to try a cold shower, but you're already dripping. Taking a chance shifting down to the sea. Then again,
Doyle added when Sawyer remained silent.
Even admirable or pitiable willpower only goes so far. I think I liked you better when you didn't say much of anything. Can't blame you.
As he passed to go inside, Doyle gave Sawyer a friendly punch on the arm. For himself, Sawyer decided to stay outside and drip a few minutes longer. At least he didn't have breakfast duty, and considering the hike ahead of them, no calisthenics at dawn. He made up an hour of the sleep he'd lost in the night, trying not to dream of a naked Annika. He figured coffee would do the rest. In the kitchen, Bran cooked his one and only breakfast specialty, a full fry. Since Sawyer had no complaints, he grunted a greeting, grabbed a mug for coffee.
Ready here in 10 minutes, Bran told him. Doyle wants to be off as soon as we've cleaned our plates. I'm ready.
Literally, as he'd spent some of the restless night ordering his pack.
Need help here? Under control. Then I'm taking this outside.
He stepped out, and there was Annika, dressed for the day in cargo pants and boots, and a tie-dyed tee she'd wanted because she thought it looked like rainbows. She sang under her breath as she created one of her tablescapes. A pyramid of juice glasses had chains of little flowers and clovers spilling out of them, and into a pool at the base. At the base stood what he thought were figures she'd fashioned out of toothpicks, leaves, more clover. As he started over, she looked up.
Good morning.
She ran to him, jumped into his arms. The kiss managed to be as bright as a May morning, and dark as midnight.
Wow.
Riley came out with her own coffee.
What did I miss?
Sawyer kissed me.
Yeah, got that. Congrats. Slow and steady wins the race, huh, cutie?
She said to Sawyer. He wasn't feeling slow or steady at the moment, so just sat down. Natural, he decided. Everybody should just act natural.
Flower fall?
Yes, and we're all having a holiday. See, the mirror it sits on is the island of glass, and we can have one perfect day after we find the stars. Take them back.
I could do with a perfect day, Riley decided.
It will be. I want to make a garden, but we don't have time.
A flower falls its own garden.
Pleased with Sawyer's comment, Annika lifted her face to the sun.
Maybe this will be a perfect day.
If perfect days included hard, sweaty climbs, this one qualified. The Phoenician Steps. As Sasha stared up and up, Riley grinned. Named so because they once thought the Phoenicians built them. Now we know they're courtesy of the ancient Greeks. And, she continued as they started the climb, were once the only way to access Annika Pri. Remember,
When you start to huff and puff, when your quads start to whimper, the women who used to have to go up and down them, nearly 1,000 steps each way, to get water, carried that filled jug on their head all the way up again.
Did you say 1,000? Sasha demanded.
921, to be exact.
There are times I wish you didn't know so damn much. But it's pretty.
Looking everywhere, Annika practically danced her way up.
All the flowers and the green?
And easier going up than coming down.
Steep, uneven, Riley qualified.
We nearly lost 2 men in a rockfall the last time I climbed these steps, Doyle remembered.
That's what the nets are for now.
Up they went, past houses and fields of wildflowers and yellow broom. Up beyond chestnut trees and a tiny vineyard with grapes still young and green. When they reached the top, Riley checked their watch.
36 minutes. Solid.
There won't be stairs for the rest.
So saying, Doyle continued on, and Riley rolled her eyes behind his back. The sun beat down, relentless, and at times even the excuse for a track Doyle chose gave way to huddles of rock. Annika clambered over and around them, as hardy, it seemed, as the tiny wildflowers that pushed their way through crevices to find the sun. Birds winged overhead, and now and then one might dart by in absolute silence. The occasional lizard baked itself or scrambled into its own crevice as boot struck rock. Sawyer gave a passing thought to snakes, of which she was distinctly unfond. When Annika let out a gasp, he gave snakes a more direct thought. One hand grabbed hers, the other his gun.
What is it?
She pointed toward a tall stand of rocks and the scrub that clung to it. Sawyer's hand relaxed on his gun.
A goat. A mountain goat.
A goat.
She stared up at the goat as the goat stared down at her.
It doesn't look like the cheese. We ate the cheese. The goat cheese.
Right. They make the cheese from milk. Goat's milk. They milk the goat.
He began to see the hole he was currently sliding into.
Ask Riley. She's the smart one. She'll explain it.
All right.
Annika scrambled up ahead, nimble as the damn mountain goat, to ask Riley.
One way to avoid explaining teats. Bran hauled himself up,
reached back, helped haul up Sasha.
In this case, I didn't know where to begin.
I could begin by stopping for 10 minutes.
Sasha swiped her forehead, pointed. There's some stingy shade over there. God knows when we might get another chance.
There's a thought. Doyle!
After the call, Bran signaled the group ahead.
10-minute break in this bit of shade. I swear the man could march from here to Naples if there was a bridge.
They sat on the ground, on rock, angled into the shade from a shrub arching out of rock. Overhead, the goat let out a derisive call.
Easy for him to say, Sasha muttered, and sipped from her water bottle.
I suppose the 3 spots you've marked for the bombs aren't enough.
It's a fine start.
Bran patted her knee.
Hell of a view.
Sasha might have scowled at Riley, but she looked back down and could only sigh.
Yes, it's a hell of a view, and I'd love to paint it sometime. But I swear I thought we'd climbed as high as Mount Vesuvius by now, and it's still a good 30 miles to the cave Doyle's aiming for.
What cave? Doyle demanded.
The one you remember from when you soldiered here. The one we're heading to.
I never said anything about that cave.
She looked back into his cool, steady gaze. But,
no, you didn't. You didn't say anything. But that's where you're leading us.
Reading minds now.
No, I just...
She shook her head, rose. Give me a minute. She got up, walked out on the goat track, stared northwest.
I can see it. I don't know if what I see is your memory of it or something to come. I don't know if she'll use it, but she's not there, not now. Bats, spiders, dung in the cool and dry. But she's not there.
She re-angled herself southwest.
Inside the great mountain she'll make her palace. Those who climb on it, bask in its views, drink and dine around it are but ants to her. Less than nothing. She'll be there, soon enough. But it isn't the time. It isn't the place to strike the final blow. Her weapon's forged, but ours isn't. We won't end her here, but lives will end. Suddenly, she clutched her head in her hand. She feels me, Bran. He rushed to her, laid his hands on her head.
Block her out. You know what to do.
She claws at my mind. She's so strong.
So are you, Foy. Look at me. Look here.
Her eyes, full of pain, lifted to his.
Stronger together. Pull from me.
She nodded, drew from him, shuddered once, then just dropped her head on his shoulder. She came in so fast. I wasn't prepared.
But you blocked her, and quickly. You get better, stronger every day.
He took her back to the shade, then skimmed his hands over her water bottle to cool it.
She'll have the time she needs to rest.
Just until my head clears all the way. You should have water.
Annika nudged Sasha's water bottle back on her.
Bran made it cool to drink. And this? This is the energy bar. But they don't taste so nice. No, they really don't. But I can use the boost.
You were talking about Monte Solero, Riley said.
If you say so. That direction. Great Mountain. In Anacapri.
We're on the Anacapri side of the island now, Doyle told her. But we're one hell of a hike from Solero.
Malmont won't base there, or base any of his troops. Clearer now, Sasha drew in a breath. It's for her. She'll deck it out. Probably bring Malmont there. But your cave, I think. He may use that. I might see more when we get there.
I can get us there.
Sawyer rubbed her knee.
It's been a hard climb already.
I'm okay, really. I think I was having such a hard time because this was building up, and she was scratching at me, and I didn't know what it was. I'll make it fine.
If you change your mind, I'll get you there.
To prove she could handle it, Sasha got to her feet.
About half a mile, right?
About, Doyle agreed. You'll make it, Blondie, or it's double the squats tomorrow morning.
Hell with that. Swinging her pack back on, she headed up the rocky track. Annika dashed forward to walk with her. We're mountain goats. You move like one, nimbly. I was given very good legs. You were born with yours, and they're also very good. They have muscles I didn't know legs could have, which is something. But right now every one of them is crying, and that's something else. We should sing.
Sing?
To take your mind away from the crying muscles. I heard this from a boat when I was a little girl, and it's fun to sing. Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise.
Queen? Sasha said with a quick laugh.
What queen? No, Queen's the band who sang it, the name of the band. But the voices I heard were men, not queens. Hard to explain. Anyway, good classic rock choice. But I don't know all the words.
I do. As Riley sang the next line, Annika laughed, joined in.
Freddie Mercury would be proud, Sawyer decided when they hit the chorus.
Words Sasha knew, and all three rocked it out.
The Sea Queen had a good point. There's a reason soldiers sing or chant on a long march.
Doyle glanced back at Bran.
She'll make it. Oh, I never doubted it.
Pride and love simply swarmed through him.
Her strength of will would carry her even when her legs tire. She's more courage than a lot of us, as she came into this with more fear and less knowledge. She's more knowledge now, because if my memory serves, she's headed straight for the cave I've chosen. You'll let her keep point then, and see if she leads us to it. I don't mind bringing up the rear, Sawyer put in. Singing's not the only way to distract the mind on a march. It's a fact they're not hard on a man's eyes on the walking away. Hard to comment, Doyle decided. I make one on the blonde's arse, I risk a jolt from the sorcerer. Make one on the sea nymphs, the traveler may take a swing at me. There's one more besides, Bran pointed out. The she-wolf, Doyle shrugged. Not bad.
We should sing another.
Annika swung up on a pile of rock. Yes, as nimble as that mountain goat.
Do you know another one?
Maybe she had to catch her breath, but Sasha was game.
Oh, yes. I love listening to music from the boats or from the places on the shore. I know this one, but I don't understand most of the words.
She shut her eyes, ticked her hands in the air a moment as if reaching for the beat. Then, to the astonishment of everyone on the hillside, lifted her voice into a soaring aria.
Tvoja mat, Sawyer said reverently. She's... Is that opera? That certainly sounds like opera, and beautifully rendered, Bran added.
As with her voice still winging through the air, Annika jumped down to continue the climb.
La Traviata. She's gone from Queen to Verdi. You know opera?
Doyle shrugged off Sawyer's surprise as the men moved forward.
Live a few centuries, you know a lot of things. Just as I know a siren's voice when I hear it. Mind yourself, brother, or she'll have you wrapped up like a trout. Already wrapped, I'd say.
Bran gave Sawyer's shoulder a slap. When the last note echoed off and her companions applauded, Annika took a laughing bow.
First, wow, major kudos on the pipes. Where'd you learn that? Riley wondered. There is a big theater by the sea, far from here. For 3 nights they told this story with songs. It's not happy because the woman who sang that song dies.
That's opera for you, Riley told her.
But the songs and voices? So beautiful. So I went to listen every night they sang. I can teach you the song.
You couldn't teach me to sing like that if we had a couple decades.
And we don't. Sasha stopped. It's there. The cave, it's there.
The mouth opened, tall and narrow in the rock. Spindly brush clung to the top, drooping down like a sagging awning. And over that, a black snake slithered.
Wall lizard, Riley said. That's no damn lizard.
Sawyer's fingers itched for the gun tucked at his back under his shirt.
Just a whip snake, not poisonous.
Smirking, Riley took out her water bottle.
But they do like to bite.
She took a quick swig, replaced her bottle, started forward toward the cave. Muttering about snakes, Sawyer stepped behind her.
Wait! Stop!
Leaping after him, Sasha grabbed his hand. Nearly at the mouth, Doyle and Riley turned.
Don't go in. Don't.
Her eyes went darker, deeper.
Don't go in. Don't go near.
She turned to Sawyer.
Pain, fear, the shadows of death, blood and rage, water and traps. I don't know. I can't see clearly. You, Annika.
Annika.
It's not safe for you, for either of you. Don't go in. Stay away, Ani.
I'm here. Don't worry.
Her voice pitched to soothe. Annika took Sasha's other hand. We won't go inside.
He'll use it. Use you. One to the other. Don't believe him.
Malmont.
Malmont. Not what he was. Not what he will be. But hers. You can't go inside.
Okay, we'll stay out. We'll stay right here, Sawyer assured her. What about the others?
What?
Is it safe for us?
Bran nudged Sawyer aside.
Do the rest of us go in?
She let out a long breath.
I don't feel anything for the rest of us. Just Annika and Sawyer. It's life and death for them inside. For us, it's a cave.
All right then. They'll stay out here, and we'll go in. See what we have.
Sasha nodded.
Please.
She took Sawyer's hand again, gripped Annika's.
Promise.
You got it. We're out here.
But when the others went in, he stared at the mouth.
Promise me.
What?
Promise me, Annika repeated. You won't go in. You won't use the compass and come back to go in and see.
Since he toyed with just that, he hesitated.
You promise me. I promise you. Because we believe in Sasha.
Damn it. You're right. Okay, I promise I won't go in. Unless there's no choice. Unless one of us is in trouble inside. Good enough?
Yes. I promise the same.
She took his face, kissed him.
Now it's an oath, and can't be broken.
He thought of Doyle's words, wrapped up like a trout, but didn't see where he had much choice.
Chapter 7. The cave, they reported as they took time to rest, eat, drink, before starting the hike back, was simply a cave. Wide and deep and dry. Sasha sketched it, adding the dimensions Doyle estimated, as well as the narrow tunnel that forked off into a second chamber, wider, deeper than the entrance. Using the sketch, Doyle marked the best places to lay their traps.
Not too close to the entrance.
Brand, too, studied the sketch.
We want as many of them inside as possible when, and if, I set them off.
Why the hell would they use a cave way the hell up here? Riley wondered. He's after a villa, and that suits Maman. A cave? That suits Nereza.
It's not hers, Sasha insisted.
Whatever reason, he has something planned. Or why see danger inside for two of us?
With a nod, Bran approved Doyle's marked positions.
I can work with this. What I've made can cure in the cave as easily as it can in the workshop. What do you say, Sawyer? You and I take a quick trip down, gather what's needed, bring it back again.
Sure.
Instinctively, Sawyer reached for his compass, then angled his head.
You can get us down there, right? Like you took Sasha to the promontory in Corfu.
Here to there? I can, yes. Easy as a Sunday drive. I've never traveled your way. Well then, I'll give you a ride.
Bran rose, reached down. The men gripped forearms.
We'll be back shortly.
And they winked away. I miss driving, Riley commented. Doyle polished off a sandwich.
Tell me about it.
He shoved to his feet, wandered off, then stood staring out at the sweeping view of blue water, white rock, and the green with the tumble of houses below. Looking for possible sniper's nests, Riley concluded, even though he knows this is too far up. They may HQ here, but they'll come down a ways, the snipers. When we get back, I'll see if I can find out if Malmont's bagged a villa. Andy's going to want a boat. He has his own, so maybe he'll just bring that. Or have it brought. The Escapade, his yacht. As if what he does is charming. I hope we search for the star tomorrow. I like the scent of the land here. To prove it, Annika drew in a long breath. And the way the sun strikes the water, the land. But if we find the star before he comes, we could be gone. We face him first, on the land, on the sea, in the dark, in the light, our lightning against his. He hurts you. Again, Sasha gripped Annika's hand. It's your blood in the water, and Sawyer's on the ground. She dropped her head. They're coming too fast. I can't keep up. You're pushing too hard. Riley scooted around, knelt on the rocky ground to dig knots out of Sasha's shoulders. I just can't see it clearly. You've blocked her. Stands to reason she's doing what she can to block you. Don't push it, Sash. Then Bran and Sawyer were back, nearly at the exact spot. Now both of them carried satchels.
Super cool trip. Another,
Bran demanded after a single glance at Sasha.
Just in flashes. They're just flashes today.
Let it go for a bit.
See?
Riley rubbed Sasha's shoulders, then rose.
Let's get started. Won't they see what you put inside the cave? Annika asked.
I'll sink them into the ground, at Doyle's strategic points. This time they'll work in a chain reaction, at my command. The first goes, then all follow.
Will it kill?
It's war, Doyle said as he strode back. And none of us can afford to be delicate about it. Ease up, Sawyer ordered. There's no easing up once they come at us. Munitions, and plenty of them. Room for cages for any of us they capture. That's what I'd use the cave for, and the prep area for sending men down from the west, for securing snipers' nests. Men, he said flatly, will have guns with long-range capabilities. Men who kill for a living, and who'll be trained to put a bullet in your brain in the middle of one of your cartwheels.
Sawyer stepped in front of Annika.
Back the fuck off.
No, don't shield me. Thank you, but don't.
Her hand wanted to tremble, but she willed it steady as she laid it on Sawyer's tensed arm.
I know what must be. I took my oath.
She stepped clear, faced Doyle.
You've killed men before, and you will again. I don't need Sasha's gift to know this. Land people kill what they are, and it's your greatest weakness, your deepest shame. I know those who come will kill, so we do what we must do. But it brings no peace or pleasure.
No, neither. Ever.
Do you see them? The ones who've fallen for you?
Everyone.
She looked into his eyes a long moment, then took his hands.
It's a heavy burden to carry. After this, we'll all carry it. I can't place the weapons in the cave. Show us where else they're needed. Sawyer and I will do our part.
They took the second satchel, and using the map, hiked to the nearest location marked.
You shouldn't be angry with Doyle for being harsh with me.
Can't help it.
You can, she corrected. Because, as I do, you know he's harsh because he worries I will hesitate and be hurt, or not protect another from harm.
To soothe them both, she leaned against him.
You worry too.
Sure, a little.
More than a little, I think. And I don't like to give you worry. Sometimes I need Doyle to be harsh and make me remember.
Okay, but remember this too. I've got your back.
He tipped her face up.
And everything else.
I will. We're teammates.
You got it. Now watch this,
Sawyer told her as he carefully lifted a vial from the satchel, set it on the stony ground. It lay a moment, then sank out of sight as if into water. Annika said,
Ah, Bran has such a gift. But is it safe for others? Innocence.
Though she caught at his hand, Sawyer deliberately stepped on the spot where the vial had been.
Evildoers only. Mr. Wizard strikes again. Okay, next about 50 paces southeast.
He looked at her as they veered off the narrow track.
I know this is hard for you. You have the sweetest heart. But you're right that Doyle's right. You need to look at it in a hard light, Annie. Nereza chose to take this direction, and the men she's using as weapons against us, they have a choice too. Those choices take ours off the table. They'll end us and more, end any chance of keeping the stars out of Nereza's hands.
She said nothing as he placed the next vial.
Once Malmaz's on the hunt, he won't stop. And he's good. He has almost unlimited resources to keep looking. And maybe, at some point, even to find the Firestar Bran's already secured.
He would kill you.
In a New York minute. Like that,
he said, snapped his fingers.
He doesn't value life, unless it's his own. Me? I'd just be dead. Not that I'd be happy about it. But you. Especially you, Riley and Doyle. It would be worse for you.
How for Doyle? He's an immortal.
That's just the point, Sawyer gestured, and they headed toward the next spot. He can't die, but he can feel pain. Malmont could and would give him pain for years.
I know there is cruelty.
But you don't understand it.
I never want to.
But I understand, even though it's hard, we have to stop these men just as we stopped her creatures. We protect each other and the stars. It's our duty. You said you don't want to take a life, but would to protect others.
That's right.
And our others, I know, would do the same. I can't do less. Let me place the next vial.
Slowly, they worked their way down, with the breathtaking view spread before them. The sun splashed onto the sea, shimmered on white rock, and baked the green. At one point, Sawyer crouched down, then lay on his belly.
Doyle had it right. This is the perfect sniper's nest.
When Annika lay beside him, he pointed.
See? That's our villa.
Yes. Yes, I see. It's still a very long way.
They'll have a scope, a high-powered rifle, and you can bet a lot of skill. Here.
He scooted back, squatted to take a pair of small field glasses out of his pack.
Look through these.
She studied them a moment, then put them up to her eyes, gasped and jolted.
Oh, everything jumped close.
She lowered them.
But nothing moved.
Binoculars. It's the lenses, the special glass. It, easiest to say, magnifies. A sniper would have something like this, something called a scope, attached to the rifle.
And it would bring us close,
she murmured as she looked through the glasses again.
I see. A miraculous tool, used for evil.
In this case, yeah.
Then we place a vial here.
Once they had, she turned to him, rose up to kiss him.
This is the good, to balance the bad.
Then let's make it even better.
He drew her in, took the kiss slow, quiet, deep, and wondered how he managed to go even an hour without having her pressed against him.
You two really need to get a room.
Riley stood above them, hands on her hips.
We're weighing the scales on the good side, Sawyer told her.
Whatever. Did you cover it down to there?
Every mark. Take a look here.
Quick, sure-footed, she picked her way down, then crouched as Sawyer did.
Well, shit.
Like he had, she stretched onto her belly. You've got to give it to Doyle. This is prime for a nest. Get yourself an M24 or an
AS-50,
Doyle said, and jumped lightly down beside them. Riley looked over her shoulder. Next on my list. He got down, shoulder to shoulder with her, nodded.
Yeah, cover, stability, scope, and range. It's all right here.
Good as a clock tower, Riley agreed. We walk outside, bang and bang. Ducks in a pond, all six.
Well, five out of six.
Right, you'd quack again.
They would overpower him, one man against many.
Sick at the thought, Annika looked down at Doyle.
And give him pain, endlessly. We can't allow it.
Won't, Riley corrected. You got any left? Sawyer patted the satchel.
Three.
And you? She tapped Doyle with her elbow as she pushed up. Any more spots strike you as bomb-worthy?
102.
Then we'll cover it. She wiggled her fingers for the bag. Here come Sash and Bran. The four of you go on. We'll finish this off and catch up. Then I believe it's margarita time.
Not Bellini?
Riley shook her head at Annika. After a climb like this, it's gotta be the margarita. You know what's good with margaritas after climbing up and in the hills for a few hours, setting traps for bad guys? Salsa.
Got you covered, Sawyer told her.
By the time they got back to the villa, Annika wanted the pool, the comfort of the water. Since Sasha and Sawyer had already started to chop and slice, she ran upstairs, changed into one of her new suits, and the wrap that flowed over it. When she came out, Doyle stood on the far side of the pool, looking up at the hills. He wore sunglasses and had a hand resting on the hilt of the knife in his belt. He looked like a warrior, strong and fit,
and ready to face whatever came.
You don't have the beer.
I'll get to it.
You look up where we've just been because you worry. Did you miss something important? Will all we did be for nothing? You worry we'll be killed, in spite of all the work and planning. We won't.
Optimism's part of your charm, gorgeous.
We won't, she repeated, and walked over to him. But you've seen more death than anyone should. An immortal faces death every day, but never his own. The losses, like the men who fell before you, are always there.
She'd pinned it like a flag on a map, he thought, and shifted to look at her. How long do you live?
We live longer than land people, much longer. So I know when I go home, when I'm back in the sea, that one day my heart will still beat and Sawyer's won't. It's very hard to know.
He's lucky to have you now.
We're meant, she said simply. At least for the time we have. Just as we're all meant to be here together, to search for and find the stars, to take them back to the island of glass. Because we're meant, we'll face what comes, do what we must. Because it was her way, she slid an arm around his waist, leaned against him. You're a warrior. A warrior isn't a killer, because a warrior, a true one, has honor. The men who'll come aren't warriors.
No, they're not.
And when they come, we'll win. Today is for a job well done, and now for the pleasure of having it done. You should get the beer.
I should get the beer.
It was rare for him to allow himself to feel or show true affection, but he found himself cupping her chin, kissing her lightly on the lips. He walked toward the kitchen where Sawyer stood holding a tray of fresh salsa and chips.
Do I have to kick your ass?
Doyle glanced back. Annika stood a moment, arms and face lifted to the sky, then dived sleekly into the pool.
Brother, if things were different, one whole hell of a lot different, you'd sure as hell have to try. But they're not. So we can save each other the bruises. You for beer or that slurpee Riley makes? I like the slurpee. Suit yourself, Doyle said, and went in for beer.
Sawyer took the tray to the table, set it down, then walked over to look into the pool. Annika lay on the bottom, eyes closed, lips gently curved, as if she dreamed some sweet dream. Riley came out carting a pitcher of margaritas nestled in a big bowl of ice. Sasha's bringing the rest. She sat down the pitcher, rolled her shoulders. Boy, am I ready to dive into that pool.
Annika's in there.
So?
I think she's taking a nap.
Riley walked over to the edge, looked down. Huh.
Well, it'll have to be a catfish nap. Get it?
That gives me time for some liquid refreshment. Back at the table, she dipped a chip into Sawyer's salsa, sampled.
Oh, baby, you know what I like. I could eat a gallon of this stuff.
Haul those glasses over, Sash, she said when Sasha came out.
Let's get this party started. Where's Bran?
He wanted to check on something in the workshop. He said he wouldn't be long. I think Doyle hit the shower. Where's Annika?
Taking a nap in the pool.
Riley poured three generous glasses. A nap in the pool? Sasha took her sketchbook off the tray. Isn't it strange how quickly we get used to what we, or I anyway, considered the impossible? Annika's asleep in the pool. Bran upstairs with his magic potions. One of us could get a wild hair and go pull a psycho on Doyle while he showers. On a laugh, Riley stabbed a fist in the air, made the high-pitched sound that went with the classic scene. I could ask Sawyer, hey, would you mind taking me back to France? Say, right about the turn of the 20th century, because I'd really like to have a conversation with Monet. Which one? Riley wondered. Both, now that you mention it. But I'm thinking Claude first, a personal favorite. Sasha sampled the margarita, found it perfect. So a little trip to Giverny.